Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I've got tour dates all around baseball. April 5th, we'll be starting things in Costas in Dundalk. Then on the 7th, as we open our new arena here in Baltimore with Bruce Springsteen and the Eagles on back-to-back nights, we'll be doing it down at Fadley. Since the Fadley shirt ready for baseball season, I'll have some Maryland scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery, the 50th anniversaries to give away at both of these events, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free for throughout the month of March in the 2 years, 0% financing. Well, I've reached up all the agents that I know. This guy and I have been trying to play tag the last couple of weeks. He represents a few people around the league. It's a busy time of the year as Lamar Jackson has been given the non-exclusive franchise tag. I think about 6 months ago when I had Lee Steinberg on, I would have had to ask him, what is the non-exclusive? We're trying to learn all of this. We're trying to catch up with you, Lee Steinberg. Everybody's an agent in Baltimore right now. How have you been? And I'm sure celebrating another beautiful little experience with your quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yes, that Super Bowl was about as good as it gets in the pantheon of thrills for someone representing athletes. You can't do much better than that.
Well, I've known you a long time, and I remember when you rebuilt the agency, and you said one day we're going to represent these types of players in regard to Patrick. And I had you on in Miami. You and I were together at Radio Row 3 years ago, right before the pandemic. I think we spoke a little bit about Kobe Bryant that week because that was the week it was. And you were, you know, a bullying about the front end of what it could mean for him and for all of this. And as we sit here with the Lamar Jackson contract and what it means for all of these quarterbacks and what chairs they sat in, obviously Patrick Mahomes has been just a beautiful gift to you as well at this point in your career.
Well, he's a beautiful gift to the world because he's such a centered and thoughtful person, and he'll go that way. But look, the key in football today is the franchise quarterback. It's become a quarterback-centric league. So here's the key. Can you find the player who you can build around for 10 to 12 years? Can you find the quarterback you can win because of rather than just with? And can you find someone who in critical circumstances, in adversity, the game's getting out of hand, the quarterback's throwing a couple interceptions, the crowd's booing, what does he do then? Can he compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and elevate his level of play to take a team to and through victory? There are very few quarterbacks like that. I mean, you'd have to say Aaron Rodgers, obviously Tom Brady was, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and then there's Lamar Jackson, and he clearly is a franchise quarterback. So normally in these situations, these contracts are not a public subject. You just see all of a sudden that the quarterback has signed a new extension or a new long-term contract. What's confusing here is you obviously have a team that loves this player, and you have a player that loves the team. And so this is a happy marriage, but I think that somewhere it probably was the Deshaun Watson contract that came in and created controversy as to what the market is and what's fair, because clearly this is a franchise quarterback and clearly it's a different team without him.
Well, I've heard all the talking points, and as have you, and I remember Steve Bisciotti this time last year when I was getting thrown out of the owners' meetings talking about outlier. I would think that's a word that an agent like you does not want to hear, and certainly you wouldn't want to hear if you were renegotiating Patrick Mahomes' contract, and maybe at one point you will be, to say that the Deshaun Watson is an outlier. What would you say? How would you answer an owner that says to you, no, that's an outlier, we're going to go with the other contracts instead, once this contract was issued? And throughout sports, every agent in your position, through the history of sports, uses the next benchmark. I think you did it with Barkowski many years ago.
All right. So the reality is that Deshaun Watson's contract is part of the market because it was a similarly situated player. And you're going to have Joe Burrow up. You're going to have Justin Herbert up. And the television contract in football, Fox and CBS, in the midst of a cratered economy during the pandemic, their rights fees, what they pay for, went up by 83%, or almost double. So more money's coming. This is the biggest jump in the cap. And so if anything, someone's going to exceed Deshaun Watson's contract. And you may see this next generation of quarterbacks do better because there's more money in the game. There's more money under the cap. And that position's critical. So it's not an outlier. It's part of the market. The real issue is guarantees, because more and more contracts in the NFL are becoming guaranteed for skill and injury. That's probably where the rub came. It probably wasn't the dollars. And so, if you're Lamar Jackson, you say, this is all part of the market. What makes it an outlier? What's different about the Cleveland Browns and signing up a quarterback long-term?
Well, the media may say their level of desperation created their negotiation, but in your case, I'm sure you were looking or thinking about or broached the 35 years ago, whether it was Warren Moon or Troy Aikman or Steve Young, talking about guaranteed money even then. It has been taboo for all the owners. I mean, Kirk Cousins maybe, and certainly there are guarantees built into all of these deals, including what you negotiated for Patrick Mahomes. But the notion of guarantees have always been there on the baseball side. You've always been on the football side. When did that really get sideways, and why was that never bargained for and fought for on the football side of things? This all happened when we were out of the league here in the 80s and 90s.
Well, free agency doesn't really have the same effect in football that it does in baseball, because the most talented players never get to free agency. They are preemptively signed by their teams. The contracts have rarely been guaranteed in football, but that's changing. Now you go throughout the first round, and those first round contracts are mostly guaranteed for skill and injury. Sometimes 3 years instead of four on that first contract, but you're seeing more guarantees everywhere. What used to make the difference in contracts was signing bonus, so that the other sports didn't have a signing bonus. So when you have someone enter the NFL and they're a top first rounder and they get $23 million in a check, yes, they didn't have all the guarantees, but signing bonus made up for it.
Lee Steinberg is here, agent extraordinaire. He is out in California and preparing for yet another draft. We've had a combine now and pro days and all of that as we get up on the draft. And, of course, the Ravens embroiled in whatever this public thing is with Lamar Jackson. So I know you'll begin by saying you don't represent Lamar, and we had you on a couple of months ago, and you gave us a little bit of a cautionary tale. I think the headline at Baltimore Positive was something like, even Jerry Maguire wouldn't represent himself. In your case, in watching Lamar now represent himself, and Roquan Smith's representing himself, other players have gotten themselves, Laremy Tunzel representing himself. For you, what is your cautionary tale, your global cautionary tale, that if Lee Steinberg Jr. were the number one draft pick or were in Lamar Jackson's situation, why you wouldn't want your son, your loved one, your student athlete, your friend to be unrepresented? I think the fans here are getting a little bit of an education about losing money for endorsement deals and also positioning with through all these owners. But from your perspective globally, what does a player miss? What would Patrick Mahomes missed by not having you or anyone like you around?
He probably could represent himself pretty well.
Hey, don't tell the Chiefs that.
Let's start with the fact that it's really difficult to be someone negotiating with the team when the subject is you, and the subject is you. And it's really hard to keep the right emotional distance from the business aspect of it, because what the player's feeling is, I'm not being valued sufficiently and all the rest of it. You have a buffer in an agent, first of all. Second of all, you've got someone who structurally could come up with creative ways to put a contract together. If not this, then let's try this or this or this, which is hard to do if you're not in the business of contracts. Now, let's be clear, Lamar Jackson, any player has the absolute right to represent themselves. I don't have a divine right to represent players, but they have a need that they reach out for. So representation also is about helping someone become a role model. It's about setting up charity. It's about mentoring them through the process. It's about preparing for second career. There's so many different aspects to this, but it's difficult to represent yourself. I don't represent myself, for example, when I'm doing a book deal. I have a literary agent do it. When we negotiated for me to do a documentary, I didn't negotiate the deal because it's too close. It's too personal. It's you need some emotional distance and judgment. And you also have another person in your life that you can talk with who's going to show you every aspect of the market, but in this case, how the market grows. Because every contract for a franchise quarterback is always going to end up being the biggest. And then the next one will build on, the next one will build on, the next one will build on it. So this is not just about now, it's seeing the future and envisioning where this contract will stack up. Remember, you can do an extension for a veteran every year. So if it ever becomes unfair, you can always just extend the contract, pay a new bonus, extend another year or two, and keep making it so it is market ready. The counterbalance is how to keep the supporting cast together that will enable a player to get to the Super Bowl. And so if the cap number is too extraordinary and enormous for the quarterback, then there's a problem. But that can be done through structuring and figuring out all salary counts against the cap, but amortized bonus counts against the cap. So it can be structured in a way that allows you to both have the best competitive edge, which is important for the quarterback, and maximize the dollars.
Lee, is it possible that the owners could collude in this day and age? That's a strong charge for anyone to make, but is it even possible that because certainly nobody was colluding last year with Jimmy Haslam and giving money, guaranteed money, to Deshaun Watson. And you've seen these salaries go up through 40 years of you doing this work. You've already mentioned that the actual pie has grown, and it's very obvious, and the union has negotiated for all of that. But is it possible that the owners could artificially suppress this in some way for the market?
I think that that the issue of guarantees is so basic that they don't have to collude to know that it ties their hands and restricts them in some way. So I don't think they need to. They share the same interests. Back in the day, back like when the USFL was born and the rest of it, and then it crashed, agents colluded like crazy, but there was a totally different system, and owners colluded like crazy, but it was a totally different system then. And now I doubt that they would even have to do that. That's just their inherent interest. It's like when people talk about conspiracies among wealthy people in the world, right? And they're always like, they control the world. They don't.
The media. So we all get together, Lee. The media all gets together and decides, right? I mean, the media, like we have a meeting at night, right?
Right. So the point is, you don't have to convince wealthy people that they don't like taxes and they don't like regulation, right? You don't have to have a conspiracy. They just have the same interest.
Lee Steinberg is here. We have the same interest in sports in the National Football League and have since I bought my Steve Barkowski jersey at Sears back in 1978-79. Last thing for you on the representing yourself side of this. I think we all saw the inherent issues and even your talking points about not representing yourself, that all of us would say that. But in practice, this last couple of weeks, about how a player would get Arthur Blank or an owner on the phone or Jim Irsay or Steve Bisciotti on the phone and literally do the work that you and not just, I mean, you're rich and famous and you're the guy on front. I've seen your team of people. It's not just one. I mean, you have an army of professionals across all sorts of level of finance, law, money, helpfulness, like all of the things that agents do for players. The notion that just the simplicity of the contract negotiation from the fan's perspective, it's mind-numbing to think that, for me at least, having done this for 27 years, thinking that he doesn't have somebody like you doing this work and trying to get him the $200 million contract he wants.
Well, one of the problems here is that once something becomes public, it makes deal-making much more difficult. Once a player or an owner feel pushed up against the wall in some way, it doesn't necessarily make them more willing to make the deal. It may make them more resistant. So trying to keep things below the surface and not played out in the newspaper, there's only one person that can pay Lamar Jackson, that's Steve Bisciotti, right? And once I realized that that if I was criticizing an owner publicly, it didn't necessarily, it wasn't like the fans were going to march to the stadium, you know, with torches and pitchforks and demand that the player get the money. It all seems incredibly unreal to an average working person. So you've got to try to keep these discussions behind the scenes where no one's pushed up against a wall, no one's made to feel criticized. Just keep it private.
Well, Lee, I appreciate you coming on and representing some players in a few weeks, are you? You know, still hard at work and bringing these young men to Indianapolis?
Well, we've got younger agents doing all of that.
Well, we'll just leave the rest of it to us here, the older guys. Hey, I appreciate for 30 years you being so kind to me at all these radio rows. I'm sorry I missed you in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago, but I'm really glad you made a little bit of time. And I think the drama here from I've been doing this 31 years. I've never had an offseason like this. When your quarterback is in flux with a franchise or when you don't have one, we've had a few of those. But when this happens, it's greatly upsetting to a franchise and its fan base. This has been a very combustible offseason for here in Baltimore, at least.
So they've used the tag. Now you just have to privately see if there's a better structure and a better way to go. It's not over because they use the franchise tag. They can take it off and negotiate a new contract anytime.
Okay. Well, maybe cooler heads will prevail and the money will come flowing and number 8 will be back out on the purple field. Lee, thank you very, very much. Appreciate all the work and all the good deeds over the years. And Mr. Party, we'll hope to be there next year. I hear it's going to be bigger and better in Vegas, right?
It will. There you go.
Appreciate
thank you.
Lee Steinberg, agent extraordinaire, joining us from his office at Marina Del Rey. You can find me anywhere good crab cakes are served. We're going to be bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're going to be at Costas on the 5th of August. April. Did I say August? I meant April. April 5th. Get ready for baseball season the day before opening day. We'll be down in Dundalk celebrating 50 years of the Maryland Lottery. John Martin's going to join us. We got some great guests lined up. Then on the 7th, we're going to be at Fadley's. I'm wearing the Fadley's shirt down at Lexington Market, the old market. That is the day after opening day. That is the day that the new CFG Bank Arena will be opening with Bruce Springsteen. Springsteen will be amongst us, among us. Maybe I get Nils Lofgren to come have a crab cake with me at Fadley's. Who knows, right? I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.